Welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Podcast featuring the Elias Crusaders. I'm your guest host, Greg Jackson. I'm sitting here with Elias football beat reporter, Tom Rackers. Before Tom and I talk this week about the Crusaders, let's listen to a little bit of his conversation with Elias head coach, Chris Hinches.
Chris, let's look back at Sedalia, Smith Cotton last week. A workmanlike win. I mean, you took care of what you needed to do.
Yeah, and, you know, when you look at the stats and the number of plays and the score, it was an odd type of football game, and we didn't touch the football offensively in the second or in the fourth quarter. And I think we only had four or five plays in the second half. But I thought we played really well, in spurts, particularly, in the first half. And you know, we got the 35-0 lead, and the turbo clock started, and the game went really short from there.
Yeah, you know, this week, you know, in the regular season at Viani, you know, you're used to playing them now. They're kind of on the schedule every year, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. And we're hoping that this will be a Week 9 game and relationship that we can keep for a long, long time. A fellow Catholic school out of St. Louis that, you know, has a similar mission and, you know, similar philosophy. And I think it'll be a good game. I think it'll be one that, I think two very evenly matched and like football programs. And I think it comes at a good time for us there in Week 9, a good challenge, a good road trip, and it's been a good week of preparation.
You know, Viani probably coming in a confident football team, getting their first win of the year.
You know, we told the kids on Monday, don't look at the record, because there's a lot of teams in Class 5 or 6 that if they would have played their schedule, they'd be sitting at 1-7 as well. Mm-hmm. And they were competitive in the, Soldan game, and that was a game they could have won, but to play DeSmit, CBC, Chaminade, SLU, to run that kind of schedule in the old Metro Catholic Conference, I don't know a whole lot of teams that would have a much better record than what Viani has. And when you look at them on tape, they're really young. I think they play really hard, and like you said, coming off a win last week, they're a confident football team.
What do they like to do offensively?
Throw the football, and it kind of reminds you, Coach Masters, when he was at Tolton, they really threw it a lot. Not quite as much as maybe some of the years he was at Tolton, but, they'll throw it 60%+. They have a good quarterback capable of throwing it around the yard and, good receivers. And, they throw everything from quick now screens, bubble screens, quick slant game, and they'll go vertical on you too. They're multi-formational like we are. Our defense certainly has had more pass work in defense this week than we have the two previous weeks, which has been run.
Right.
So it's been a little bit of adjustment for our defense, kind of gearing back into a team that's going to throw it more than they're going to run it.
What do they do defensively?
Defensively, they're very multiple. They're base 3-4 defense. They can run a little 3-3 stack. They run a little 4-2. We're expecting more of a 3-4. We're similar to offenses like SLU that they ran against, and Afton, and they ran pretty much 3-4 against them. But we'll be ready, and we practiced all three different fronts. We'll be ready for anything. You look at a football team that's really young, playing with more confidence now. They play hard, and we're expecting a good football game.
Thanks, Chris.
That was Elias head coach Chris Hinches. And Tom, another CMAC title for the Elias Crusaders, 6-0 in conference play for the second straight year, and a nice 35-3 win against Sedalia Smith Cotton.
Yeah, let's start with the conference. I think they are very proud of that. Last year winning it, they kind of had bigger goals in mind, frankly. This year, that was one of the big goals, to go through on conference undefeated again, and they did it. And I don't want to say it was easy, because there were some games that going into it, at least, you thought were kind of coin flips. A trip to Battle and a trip to Rockbridge are never, easy games. But, they got through those two unscathed and then kind of handled business at home. And it resulted in a conference title, 12-0 all-time in CMAC. I think that is something that they really are proud of getting done. And now it's time. Now the kind of time to look forward.
And I did want to ask about, you know, the conference really quick. And, you know, every team I've covered has always been in the conference. And that's one thing we've really emphasized with the start of the CMAC is a lot of these teams in the conference, you know, we're not in a conference for several years. Obviously, Helias, it had been about close to 20 years yeah. because they used to be in the NCMC along with, you know, Rockbridge. So, again, to bring people up to speed who aren't familiar with having covered or cheered for a team that has been an independent, how much of a difference have you noticed these last 2 weeks when you have games that they're usually on the schedule, but now there's conference implications and there's some rivalries being formed and the games just mean a little bit more.
Well, yeah, I think one, if you actually like shot truth serum into Helias, being in the conference may not be that big a deal, except it helps with the schedule. You know, Helias for years, and trust me, I would know, basically went all over the place trying to find
right.
games. And because in an independent, it's just tough when a lot of people are in conferences. You know, now they're kind of, you know, now they know they're locked in. You know, 2/3 of their schedule is locked in every year. So that I think really helps. Now, it also helps, you know, that you're playing area teams. Mm-hmm. And, you know, while you were playing Battle and you were playing Rockbridge before and you were playing Hickman, now you've got Jeff City on the schedule. And we know what that game, I think, in time is going to mean to this town. You know, last year was big. I think once Jeff City starts to build back up, which I think they're going to do, that game is really going to take off. You know, you've got Capital City, the new kid in town. That game is going to be big. And then never, never, never forget how important Smith Cotton was to this conference getting mm-hmm. it started, because they were kind of out on an island by themselves, and they looked over here to the east and said, well, here's three schools in Jeff City and here's three schools in Columbia. Let's see if we can get them all together. And it did. And it has, I think everyone is happy with it.
Okay. What were some takeaways you have from the Smith-Cotton game? The one thing that jumped out to me was the number of points they scored on it, as few offensive plays as there were.
Yeah. One thing that jumped out at me was the largest run-through banner I've ever seen before the game. Oh, my God. The kids, they could stand shoulder to shoulder and run through. It was amazing. Sedalia, it was pretty sweet. pardon me. You know, I asked Chris last week how the focus was, you know, coming off, you know, Capital City, then Jeff City, how the focus was going to be playing Sedalia. I mean, I know that the undefeated conference season was on the line, but really, I mean, it'd be tough to get up 3 weeks in a row. And he said, well, he thought it was fine. You know, last week said he thought it was fine. They'd be ready. Well, I think this week, when I asked him about it, he said, yeah, I don't know that our focus was necessarily where it needed to be for that game. And I think it showed. Helias didn't have its A game, and I think at times they didn't even have their B game. But when they were playing well, that's when they got out to such a big lead early. And I mean, it could have been worse. They got stopped on fourth and goal at the one that would have given them another touchdown in the first quarter. That was bad enough. And, you know, and so, you know, 35-3, it was 35-0. So the running clock basically came into play on the after Helias' first drive of the second half. And the only time Helias didn't score, they punted, which was on the first play of the fourth quarter. Helias never got the ball back. You know, Sedalia ran the last 11-plus minutes right. off the clock and then kicked the field goal on the final play. I think it was a nice way to end it. You know, the game got over early, and it wasn't their best game. I think they're going to have to do a little bit of refocusing for this week.
Okay, speaking of this week, we look ahead to the Week 9 game to wrap up the regular season, and they'll be back on the road playing a Vianney team that, you know what, they're coming off their first win of the season, 42-0 against Bishop Berg, and I know... A 1-7 record doesn't look great, but as you and I were talking beforehand, this is a team that could really make an argument for having a very, very difficult strength of schedule this season.
Yeah, I mean, you look at who they played, you know, CBC in their conference. I mean, CBC is co-number one in Class 6. They played, you know, DeSmet, who was in the top 5 in Class 6. They played Chaminade, who got some Class 5 poll attention early. They played Vashon out of conference, who was in the Class 4 rankings. They played SLU, who, while not being ranked, is always a really good football team. It's been tough. They, They dropped their first game by 42-40, if I remember correctly, to Soledad. And then the next, you know, 6 weeks were just a gauntlet for them. And it's a young team that kind of was trying to find its footing, and it's hard to do when you play that type of schedule. Got a win last week, 42-0 over Bishop DeBerg. So you figure, going into tonight's game, this is probably as confident as Vianney has been all year.
Oh, yeah. And one of the takeaways, and I had to double-check this, is, you know, things obviously were out of whack last year due to COVID. And you know, even though this is the second year of the two-year cycle, I mean, these two teams did not play last season.
No, but due to travel restrictions, Vianney was supposed to come down here last year. Didn't happen. And so Helisa played somebody else in Week 9, and goodness gracious, I can't spend so long, I can't remember who that was. But they played somebody and beat them. And so this is a game that Helisa would like to keep on its schedule. You know, they think a Week 9, this is a very good Week 9 opponent. A lot of years, this is going to be a challenging game for them. And so they just don't want a freebie now. They want to get tested as they get ready for the postseason. And then there is a chance they're going to be tested tonight. I would not necessarily overlook Vianney.
What would you say some of those tests would be in particular?
Well, I think this is a big game looking for the future,
mm-hmm.
because Vianney likes to throw the football.
Okay.
Helias has not seen a team that likes to throw the ball. Sedalia, or Smith Cotton really didn't throw it. You know, Jeff City threw it more than we thought they would,
mm-hmm.
but it wasn't a pass offense. You know, Capital City threw it a little bit more than we thought they would, but they're not a great passing offense yet. So this is going to be a chance for Helias to get its pass defense tested, which, you know, looking down the road, not necessarily in the district semifinals, but you look at a potential district final against Holt,
mm-hmm.
who could throw it all over the field. You want a chance for those guys to get your secondary to get tested in game situations.
Okay. I was posed this question earlier in the week, and I haven't seen Helias play in person this year. I've only read your stories, so you probably have a better answer for this than I do. You're Helias, you've got a 7-game win streak. Yeah, again, some of them were tough opponents, were tight games, and I know, but none of them have really been like the one possession games or games that came down to the wire. So my question is there something they need to work on over the next couple of weeks before they begin postseason play?
I'm going to go back, a couple answers. One, I'm going to go back to the pass defense.
Right, okay.
They just haven't, you know, just the teams on their schedule haven't thrown it very much. And to me, that would be, you know, I'm going back to the first game against Hannibal, which is probably not fair because this is not the same Helias team
right,
we played
right,
in Week
right.
1 that's going into Week 9. But they got torched a few times.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go back and you look at Capital City that, you know, while they shut them out, there were a couple of receivers that were open deep that, the connection wasn't made on passes that could have, you know, resulted in touchdowns. So, I think there's still questions to be answered about the cornerbacks, the safeties, and Helias' pass, you know, in their defense. Now, true, they've returned, Carson Braun returned 2 interceptions for touchdowns. They haven't necessarily always been bad at it. I'm not saying that. But I think tonight's game will be a good quality test against a quarterback who can throw the ball and some receivers who can catch it. That they haven't had probably since Week 1.
Okay.
Now, another thing, you know, would be their run offense.
Okay.
It hasn't been that great the last few weeks. Mm-hmm. You know, for a while, you know, they were racking up 100-yard rushers, one, and at one week they had 200-yard rushers in a game. Hasn't been that good lately. One thing Chris, you know, they talked about, they need... There's going to be games where they're going to want to control the football. And that means grinding out 3, 4, 5 yards a carry. And they really haven't necessarily done that a lot recently. And I think that's something that you might want to build on. And I'm not sure that might not be a point of emphasis tonight, too. It's like, let's control the ball, keep it away from Vianney, keep it away from their offense. I think that'd be something I would be looking forward to.
Okay. And one last thing, because as you mentioned, I think with last week's win, Helias pretty much locked up the 2 seed in their district, and it's a 6-team district, which means they'll have a bye week 10. Obviously, this is something you probably won't talk about with Chris until next week, but maybe based off some of the conversations you had with him last year when they did have the bye. I know some coaches are all about routine, and they'd almost prefer to play week 10 as opposed to sit around. But with a tough regular season schedule, after 9 straight weeks, I mean, is Hawaii one of those teams that probably would much rather benefit from having that week off to get ready for the postseason?
Yeah, strange enough, Greg, we did talk about that.
Okay, all right.
We did. And I was not surprised by his answer. They would rather play week 10.
Okay.
Because it just, you know, if nothing else, it's just a matter of routine. It gets kids out of their routine. Now, it's probably good for some of the kids to get a little time off and not, you know, from practice and get rid of, you know, those little bumps and bruises, get those taken care of. But, excuse me, I think they would really rather play just any, you know, get a game, you know, another chance to get better. You know, he said the one thing they're planning on doing next week, it's going to be Helias on Helias. You know, we are going to try to make each side of the football better by playing ourselves. Okay. But, you know, it's hard to get a whole lot of preparation done that week because you don't know who you're playing in week 11. But he said, we're just going to try to get what we do, we want to make it better.
Okay. Okay, but before we get to week 10, let's really quick week 9. What do you see is the outcome of Friday's game?
I really do think that Helias will be focused. Knowing that they don't have a game next week, I think they're going to kind of shove a lot of their cards onto the table. It chips into the middle and say, here, we're going to go out and put out our best stuff just to see what we can do against what truly, you know, record-wise isn't a great team, but has talent. You know, Chris said they're young, but they're talented. He said this is a program that's going to be on the rise, and in a couple of years, they might be somebody to deal with. But again, right now, I don't know that they are necessarily at the level Helias is. So I'm going to say Helias 45-7.
All right. I'll do it for this week's podcast. For Tom Rackers, I'm Greg Jackson saying thank you for listening.
For more information about this week's games, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune, and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following NT Sports on Twitter. Thanks for listening.